The Forbidden Forest by Remedial Potions, read by Sam Gabriel. It was the clicking of Ron's fingers in front of his face that finally snapped Harry back to reality.
"Mate," said Ron, half laughing as he sat back down on his bed. "What's wrong with you? I saw you look like you've seen a ghost, but that's actually not all that strange around here."
"No," Harry interrupted. His voice felt hollow, detached from him somehow. "Definitely not a ghost." He still struggled to believe it, even after all of the bizarre things that had happened in his life. But what he had seen had been very, very real.
"Where have you been, anyway?"
Ron swung his long legs over the side of his bed, feet flat on the stone floor.
"It's nearly midnight."
Harry gulped. "Just out with Jenny." A grimace flashed over Ron's face. Then he said,
"And why have you got this look on your face? Did you ditch her?"
he demanded. "I swear to Merlin, Harry, if you..."
"No, nothing like that."
"All right, well then..." "Oh, fuck, it's not Malfoy, is it?"
"No, no, all right. Listen, something happened," he began.
"But if I tell you, you've got to promise not to tell anyone else."
"What, not even Hermione?"
"Fine, but just her." Harry paused, eyes darting around the quiet dorm room. Neville's garbled snores sounded from behind the closed curtains of one bed. Seamus and Dean's beds were both empty. They'd both been out past curfew more and more lately.
"So, listen. Jenny and I were out on a walk."
Ron's features twisted into disgust.
"Oh, come on, mate. I know what happens on these so-called walks. That's not the point. Just listen."
"Harry," Jenny laughed against his lips, her fingers curling in his hair.
"We're going to get caught."
"So what?" Harry kissed her again. "What are they going to do? Expel us?"
"I know, but..."
Jenny glanced toward the greenhouse, where lantern light flickered behind the dingy glass.
"Professor Sprout is... still in there."
Even as Harry couldn't stop himself kissing her again, it did occur to him that he didn't particularly relish being found in such a compromising state by anyone, let alone a teacher.
"Yeah, I reckon you're right."
Jenny grinned, her face still close to his.
"I know. I've got an idea, though. Come on."
Jenny extracted herself from his lap, and they stood, then started off hand in hand across the school grounds. The sun had just dipped below the horizon, bathing everything in dusky blue light. All was quiet and calm. Even the Whomping Willow could not be bothered to wave its branches at them as they passed, and Hagrid's hut was completely dark.
"The forest,"
said Jenny as they approached the row of trees that marked its perimeter.
"Seriously?"
"Yeah, it's perfect. No one ever goes in there."
"You don't think there's a reason for that?"
"Can you get on with this story already?" interrupted Ron. "'Cause I know I said I'm all right with it, and I am. But I don't love hearing about you and my little sister going for a place to get off."
"And I don't really love telling you about it," replied Harry. "But if you just let me get to the point..."
Sorry, go on then."
"So where are the centaurs?"
asked Jenny as they wound through the thick maze of trees.
"Way further in," Harry assured her. "We don't need to go that far."
"And Grop?
He won't bother us."
Harry slipped his arm around her waist, pulling her close. "He likes Hermione best, anyway." Jenny's laugh sounded through the quiet air.
"Poor Ron's always got competition."
Harry chuckled and leaned over, intent on kissing her cheek, when the sound of a twig snapping caused Jenny to freeze in his arms.
"What was that?"
Harry shrugged.
"Thestral, maybe?" "Yeah, maybe."
She didn't sound convinced.
"Here, let's just go over..."
Harry's words died in his throat, because now he wasn't just hearing the sound of twig snapping. Deep, very human-sounding murmurs met their ears.
"Oh my God,"
Jenny breathed.
"It's Dean and Seamus."
"You think so?"
"Definitely."
Even in the low light, he could see her eyes gleaming with mischief.
"Sounds like two blokes, doesn't it?"
"Yeah, it actually does."
"We've got to investigate,"
said Jenny, her voice a low, excited whisper.
"Please, we won't let on that we're there or anything. I just want to see."
"You want to see your ex-boyfriend snogging his new boyfriend?" Jenny nodded, gleeful.
"Yeah, I do. Let's go see, please."
Harry, admittedly, was curious. He had heard the rumors he'd suspected, but he didn't really know, not for certain. And anyway, it didn't really matter what Jenny asked of him. He'd do it without a second thought.
And so they crept, careful to keep their footsteps light, lest they make their presence known, in the direction of the voices. The thing was, the closer they got, the less it sounded like Dean or Seamus. There was no sign of Seamus's Irish brogue, nor Dean's London accent, and these voices didn't sound like those of teenagers either. They were time-worn and mature.
"I'm so glad to be with you again,"
came a gruff voice from within a particularly thick copse of trees.
"Feels like it's been ages."
Harry's stomach leapt into his throat. This was Hagrid.
"Merlin's pants," Ginny breathed. "Who do you think he's with? Madame Maxime?"
But before Harry could answer, another voice, this one just as familiar and yet just as surprising, responded.
"I've missed you as well, Rubeus. I regret how little time we've been able to spend together lately."
It was a voice Harry would have known on his deathbed. It was one that had imparted wisdom and had comforted him in his darkest moments. One that had been a constant source of safety and stability in an increasingly uncertain world. It was none other than Albus Dumbledore. Next to him, Ginny positively quivered with excitement.
"We should go," Harry muttered, trying to steer Ginny by the waist.
"We shouldn't be here."
"Are you kidding?"
Ginny hissed back.
"We have to go see this."
As she crept, cat-like, through the forest, Harry had no choice but to follow in her footsteps.
"You're fucking with me," said Ron decisively. "And I mean, 20 points to Gryffindor for creativity, but..."
"I am not," Harry insisted. "I'm really, really not. When have I ever lied to you?"
"I don't know, but maybe you've decided to start
with this." "I don't know."
Ron threw his hands helplessly in the air.
"Maybe Ginny's put you up to it to see what you can get me to believe."
"She hasn't.
And anyway, the story's not over."
"Look."
Ginny pointed into the copse of trees, her face a mixture of shock and utter delight.
"Oh my God, this is mad."
Harry wasn't sure what he expected to see, but it certainly wasn't Dumbledore in spangled midnight blue robes, leaning back against the trunk of a tree with Hagrid pressed closely against him. Their care of magical creatures, Professor, positively dwarfed their wizened headmaster, but neither seemed to mind. Dumbledore, in fact, seemed to relish it, as he entwined his long, wrinkled fingers in Hagrid's bushy beard.
"Are we hallucinating?"
asked Ginny.
"We've got to be, right?"
"I don't think I could hallucinate something like this."
As they watched, rapt, Hagrid wrapped a massive hand around Dumbledore's thin, knobby one.
"It pains me to see you hurting, Albus,"
said Hagrid as he pressed a whiskery kiss to Dumbledore's blackened fingers.
"Are you sure it's worth it?"
"It is for the greater good."
Dumbledore rose up on his toes, reaching toward Hagrid, and as their lips met, their beards brushed.
"Soon, my love, it will all make sense."
"My love,"
Ron repeated weakly.
"You're sure you heard that right?"
"Oh, quite."
"So,"
Ron raked his fingers through his hair,
"so Hagrid and Dumbledore are..."
"Yeah."
"Do you reckon that..."
Ron gestured uncomfortably, waving his large hands awkwardly around.
"You know..."
He laced his fingers together. His implication was clear.
"I didn't exactly have a chance to ask,"
Harry retorted.
"Yeah, just how'd that work exactly? Hagrid's so much..."
Words failing him, Ron resorted again to gesticulating wildly.
"Bigger. I don't know!"
Harry's sharp words rang out in the silence of the dorm, and they both froze as there came a rustling of sheets from Neville's bed.
"Well,"
said Ron, once Neville had resumed snoring,
"makes sense when you think about it, doesn't it? The way Hagrid's always talked about him. I just thought he admired him.
Great wizard and all that.
But I suppose it must be more."
"Yeah, I suppose it is.
But,"
added Ron, pointing a finger at Harry in mock seriousness,
"I really don't want any more stories about you snogging my sister.
I don't want to tell any more of them, so we're good."
The end.